One more topic to go. Miss R.
It's Monarch.
Monarch. Monarch.
Okay, so I need to pick a topic.
If you want to pick one.
Oh, God.
You won't get jumping. Anybody can jump in.
I'd like to talk about the lack of knowledge of things and how it implicates us in society. You know, so for example, I took it really to heart when they came out with that song, "Let Your Chain Hang Low," from the nursery rhyme, and then found out that it was a slavery song. And then the other day when we were talking about the planking,
yes,
and you're like, people don't even know where this comes from, you know. And it's just this whole entire, even though we're in a society where knowledge is so accessible,
we know nothing.
We know nothing because people aren't even researching the things that we need to really take into consideration anymore.
It's funny. My number one irritant is when my child comes to me and goes, "Mommy, what's so and so and so?" I'm like, "Google it, look it up. Find it, because you have more tools than I had, and I still have more information than you. I'm not your personal encyclopedia." Like, when my rule, or what I was taught growing up, right, and it's from my grandfather, is if you don't know, find out. Don't make anybody take you for no fool, right? So, if I remember the first time it is I ever used that was when my fan stopped working. I think I was 13, and my dad came home and I pulled the thing apart. Like, literally pulled it apart, trying to figure out how to make this thing work. Did I get it to work? No. But it's about making that effort to educate yourself in any way possible, whether it's history, whether it's how to use things, whether it's, you know, it's understanding something that you may be in the middle of. Like, if you have a hearing, right? Whether it's for a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, or you have a property, and you need to know how to manage it, or you have a bank account. My number one irritant is that these kids nowadays don't even know how to use these things until you realize that they don't know how to use them and teach them yourself.
To this day, if there's anything that's being introduced to me new, I Google it.
Literally.
I Google it. And if there's a word that I don't even know, I put it in my space, as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm Googling it.
I do the same thing.
Like, you know, knowledge is key and it is power. And in order to articulate yourself, you need to be aware and mindful of what's going on. You know, long gone are the days, you know, fake it till you make it. You need to know something, right? You need to know something.
So I equate that to Facebook too, because it's amazing, and it's basically tagging on what you said about the amount of resources available when people don't use them. Mm-hmm. I think it's very irritating sometimes that when it comes to Facebook, the whole purpose or the whole ability to use Facebook solely relies on the ability to read, whether it's a status or whether it's the text on a picture somebody shared. Essentially, Facebook is all reading, and a lot of people don't do that, you know. I think even when it comes down to grammar and stuff, what do you think about text messaging? And they say, or they've tried to say in the past, that text messaging has actually helped kids with their grammar.
No.
I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
In the beginning, I think it did. Now,
they figured out how to make it.
How to shorthand
their
everything.
Language.
Yeah. And, I mean, professors in university, at college, in high school, there was this big conference on it. Like, kids are, like, doing essays and TTYL and da da da.
Instead of R, writing the actual word, they write
R, U.
And the problem is that, like, I use it too, but I can differentiate it. You know? It's funny though, if my day gets really busy and I'm typing 500 emails, sometimes I catch myself
writing R
or U.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have to go back and literally correct it. So, what I'm doing right now is I'm making a concerted effort. It's not consistent, but a concerted effort that when I'm texting, but I'm actually spelling out my words.
What annoys me is when people try to shorthand words that literally they've only removed one letter.
And they don't know how to spell it.
It's like,
that.
Yeah. Like ready.
T-H-T.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, or are you ready? Instead of going R-E-A-D-Y, it's just like...
Eight?
R-D-Y. Or
yeah,
R-E-D-Y.
Yeah, like the shorthand comes with the R-U. Spell
it's like,
it ready, please.
It's like, bro, there's only one letter left. Why don't you just throw it in?
You know what? That ended up happening to me when I was in school. I used to, when I started text messaging, you know, people were writing you. I'm like, oh, that... less writing for me. And then I ended up doing a project and I ended up writing like R as in like A-R-E and like just putting an R and like U and whatever. And
I
looked at it.
I caught that.
No,
something.
I did.
That was
and
you?
They say U and they spell it Y-U.
And I was taking it in and I was like, bro, that's not cool. That's how you know I use it too much. So then after a while, like, if you really look at my text messages and stuff, like, it's
you spell out your words.
I spell out my words. Like, you know, thank God Blackberries have spell check, because I don't know what I'll do without it, but I honestly use complete sentences. I can't handle people, like, even reading people's conversations. I'm here still. Like, what? Like, you here? And it's like, bro, like, can you just write the full word? It's so irritating.
On the other side of that, though, I was listening to the news, 680 News, and they were talking about all these new symptoms that people are getting that requires physiotherapy now. Mm-hmm. So there's a blackberry, yeah, blackberry thumb, and then there's the iPhone, something the other. And so I was like, I gotta take this in. And when I sat down and I took a look, my thumb that I text with is actually
bigger.
Much bigger than the other one.
Everybody's
right in here. Right in here. Right there. Look.
Yeah, look.
Oh, you mean the thumb muscle?
You're developing
yeah.
The muscle.
Yeah, the muscle is still developed. Look at mine though.
The very same thing with video games and controllers.
Yeah.
And people having to go to therapy and end
corporal,
up in the emergency room.
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
I ended up, I don't know, it was kind of weird one day. I was texting and my thumb wouldn't move up.
Like spasms.
Like it spasms. And I was like, okay, you're the devil. You know? Like I didn't text the rest of the day and I was like, I can't do this. Like, my thumb wouldn't move. I felt like E.T. They're trying to bring up my thumb. Like,
but you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. I went out and bought one of the touch pads. Hopefully the muscle will go down, you know, and it will look normal again.
Back in our day, before all these digital phones and stuff, they used to say like this. You flex you see the muscle here? Mm-hmm. You flex your thumb like that, and you'll see how big the muscle is, and that'll show you how much you've been putting it to work. Like, you see, they look like little eggs here.
Yeah.
Everybody has them, right? And you'll see one is more bigger than the other.
I don't even have one on one hand.
On your hand will always be bigger than what hand you are.
Yeah, I'm left-handed, so. But yeah, it's,
I need both.
Knowledge is definitely key, as far as I'm concerned. And I just feel like as if we don't use it enough. And, you know, part of the problem, which you actually just mentioned, which was, you know, there's so much access to so many different outlets of getting this information. That's part
What's
of
the joke. Sorry, King. You use your two hands? Oh, God.
But that's part of the deterrent as well, is because there's too much access. And sometimes you don't know where to start.
I agree.
You know, and so it's just easier to come and ask mom, you know what I mean? Or guess, than it is to actually find it. Because I remember there was a project that was being done, and she had to research some famous person, somebody I'd never heard of, but regardless. And the amount of information that came up was
it's
so
like
overwhelming.
It's like opening up the fire hose on you.
Literally.
Just a pool of information.
Yeah, and I always said to her, pick the top three. Pick the top three and then take whatever you need from there. I didn't have that. When I was in college, I went to the library. I picked three books.
Mm-hmm.
I went through them. If the information was any book that had the same information as another, I put it back. Anything that offered me a different perspective, that's what I took, and that's what I worked from. That's just not the case anymore.
Yeah.
So that's what I had to do growing up too. Always the library. Now when was the last time I seen a library?
Going into York and actually, like, it was fascinating. Remember that when there's so much books that there's sections of the library where they're closed in order to hold space, and in order to get in there you have to reel it to get in between the sections. Pretty soon that's going to be obsolete. We're not going to need that. That's old school.
And that's
a bookshelf, you know.
The Toronto Library, the big one, mm-hmm. they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to continue to keep publications like magazine publications, because they feel like they shouldn't be there in the library, but because there's so much of it, so proliferate, that they have nowhere to put it. That's really what the problem is. If you think 12 different volumes per year minimum, you know what I mean? And they're changing and they're trying to maintain that information.
Well, before they used to do that thing, remember they used to scan it through and then put them on
the microfiche?
Microfiche, yeah.
Yeah,
they
but
don't do that
the problem is that that's also something to maintain. So should movies be there? They're trying to decide whether they should remove movies altogether too as well, right? Can you not access it online? Can you not get it somewhere else? So there's so much of it and so much content that it's overwhelming. And that's the reason why people don't know what they should.
But what you just said there, by you tell your daughter to take the top three, mm-hmm. right? There was a time when that would have been a good thing.
Now
you can't, because they may just be there because whoever did their computer knew how to do the SEO better.
And this is what I'm saying.
Right. So you don't actually know what to look for, you know. And even like when I did my master's, mm-hmm. half the books that are in the library I can't use, because to use data in order to like write a thesis, the information has to be no older than 10 years. So some things you can't even use.
A lot of the times when you pick the top three in the search engine, they happen to be three different pages on the
same
website.
Same website, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same source.
Yeah, that's definitely very true.
I guess what it all comes down to is that the young people coming up need to learn how to use the resources better.
And there should be resource classes
yeah.
to facilitate that.
Yeah.
So that's another class that they have to take, number one. And number two, in order to be interested in resources, right, you have to be able to hold an attention span.
Which they also
they don't,
which
they
is
don't have.
Next to non-existent.
They have no attention span anymore, because like half the time we're in conversation and he's like that. I'm like, can you like listen to me?
I am listening to you.
You
true.
Know, it is what it is.
It's
and
true.
I can't even get mad. Can't even get mad, because it's something that I do as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to multitask. And also the fact that, you know, people saying, oh, you know, these kids these days, they don't want to work, they don't want to this. Why would you want to work when everything in this world is instant gratification? Do you remember the first set of computers had to warm up for like 20 minutes before they would even start? Now, if you get to 4 Mississippi and your computer's not on,
you're
irritated.
Yeah.
Our patience, our level of patience and due diligence is just low.
It's ridiculous. But how do you expect young people to say, yeah, you know what, I want to commit to going to school for 10 years? When they've never had to wait 10 minutes
yeah,
for anything.
Yeah, very true. Food's fast. Music's fast.
Yeah.
You know? Your relationships are fast. You know what I mean? Like, everything.
You could be in Japan. You could be in Japan and I can send you a text in 2 minutes to say, I love you. Ding!
And I could Skype you in 2 seconds and see your face.
And say,
yeah.
I love you too. Yeah, yeah. You know? There is no need to wait for anything. But yet, one of the golden rules of good health is patience. But yet, patience is not something you learn. Patience is not something that is within your environmental setting anymore. Patience is something that you actually take courses to go learn how to do. Let's all meditate now. Breathe in. Exactly.
Literally. And it's funny, because last weekend I went to the street.
Hospital in Brampton, and I was telling you about it. Mm-hmm. They have a booth set up for a wellness center, a meditation and wellness center.
And those are popping
And they
up
were
everywhere.
Lined up, like people were lined up trying to get, you know, trying to go and sitting down and talking. Yeah, I need to learn how to meditate. I need to learn how to be calm.
My stress level is too high. And
because everything is so fast, everything is so quick, and especially like. I like to take my time and do things properly. That's how I was brought up.
But you don't have time for that.
But I have deadlines, right? I'm working, and nine times out of ten, I'm working at no less than three things at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Frustrating. And it's very, very frustrating.
It's almost like...
Or you get to the point like myself, if I'm only working on one thing, I get anxiety. I have to be working on a variety of things or else I'm like, this is difficult. To do one task because one side
I
of my
feel
brain
the
needs
same
to be,
way.
Because you're an artist.
No, not me.
But you're not
I
an
made
artist.
I made a decision. If I'm doing something, the email comes up, I'm not reading it. It took me about a week to kind of not jump to it.
Make the transition.
I'm like, you know what? You're not going to die. You do what I'm doing. Stay on task. Accomplish more.
But you staying on task is the way you're hardwired.
I'm not hardwired like that, and
no.
I had to force myself to
I
do
have
that.
To because the workload is so heavy, and you have to you come to a point where you have to prioritize, right?
Okay.
What's more important and what's not, because everything needs to get done.
I think.
But if I'm here, there, and everywhere, there's a chance I'm gonna miss something because I'm jumping.
And this is that's
can't
what happened with
that
me.
Error.
What happened with me was an error, right? In my particular role. As an adult, I can't afford errors within, I mean, they happen,
simple errors,
but I can't afford simple errors within the work that it is that I do because people are determining, based on the data that I provide, people are determining how the next phase is going to happen, okay? But
it's responsibility.
It's my responsibility, but I thought I was doing the right thing by jumping and trying to get all this stuff done and hitting all my deadlines and whatever be the case. Right? But there's two things that I was doing. I was setting up an unrealistic expectation.
Of yourself?
Of myself. Stressing myself out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And at the end of the day, I don't remember half of what it is I've done.
Yeah,
so if somebody comes back to me.
So
yeah. Because if somebody comes back to me and say, hey, remember that thing I sent you? No, I don't. You need to be more specific. As a matter of fact, send me what I sent you.
And I'll respond.
Yeah.
And that's the
right.
Cover up.
And this was the reality of it is I had to make a decision because I work like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to make a decision that I can't do it anymore. And ever since I stopped doing that, or I'm in the process of stopping doing that, I get more done, believe it or not, by not answering the IM. Like, I'll see the IMs come from, like, hey, you don't have to wait.
Okay,
you know?
But I think maybe I'm talking about the same type of scenario,
mm-hmm.
but different in perspective, in the sense that. Yeah, if I'm working on something and an email comes in, you know, you need to jump. Because I don't want to switch focuses, but, excuse me, for example, like in my projects or my initiatives that I do, there needs to be more than one in order for me to be balanced. If I don't have at least two going,
mm-hmm.
it's too much on one side and I become off balance.
Right, and that's where I was kind of tagging off of because it's the same for me where let's say I've got five things to do. If I'm kind of it's a little bit, you know, putting a little into each pot is a little bit easier for me. Just like when it comes to explaining to other people how to do certain things or assignments, like my peers or something like that. Okay, we got to do this for that. Number two is about this. So what we're going to do is research this. We're going to take that and do this here. But then when I sit to do it for myself and I'm just doing it, like for instance, I had to write an essay. And for me to sit and write that essay, too much focus in one place, and there's almost
obsessive with one section.
Right. At points, there's too much silence in my mind, and it's like you get stuck and it gets more confusing than it needs to be. But to turn around and explain to somebody else, you get it done so quickly. Right? So for me, when she said that when she's working on one thing, she gets that anxiety. I feel a little bit like that too, because there's
too
much.
I'm not as creative, and what happens to me when I feel that way? I'm down to the 11th hour, but I think I work really well under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So for my exams and so forth, and my essays, you know, stuff like that, the papers that are due, these ladies can attest, I'll be stressing all week, and I haven't looked at 10.
Right, and
I'll sit there all week staring at it, and then the night before sometimes
it's
bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
An hour and a half,
yeah.
Done, but and it's good.
But you, yeah. see, but you see, the thing about it is that what you guys don't realize
in the mic.
What you guys don't realize is that even though the actual process of writing happened at the 11th hour, the process of strategically organizing it and what you have to do
has already been started.
Yeah,
the process started.
So, like for example, when I'm doing plays, when do you guys get your script? You never
pretty
get
much
your script.
Sometimes the day of, sometimes the day after.
Exactly. Sometimes depending on how big the show is, right?
Minutes changes on the fly.
Yeah, and everybody knows when I'm getting ready to write a script. Because I already have the story. They've already started rehearsing. They've already started writing what they need to write because I already told them you need to write this. But Malik can attest to that. Where I will just come home, I'll have two bottles of Pepsi in my hand, park it down, park the computer, go to bed, wake up, I'm sitting in the same spot, and the whole script is done. Sometimes 100 pages. Boom. Because I had to get pregnant. And that's what I say. Everybody's like, okay. And I get really grumpy right before, and it's like, okay, she's getting ready to deliver. And it's like, okay, it's time. And then I put it out. But if I had to like write one part of it and then write another piece, I lose piece of it. It has to form in my head and gel in my head properly and then bang it out, right? And I think that style that I have, especially with working with young people in the arts, is what makes my work so much different, because you cannot bring to me a half story, because I can't work with half story. I have to have a whole story.
It used to be the same way with me with my poetry and stuff. I used to write a lot of spoken word throughout high school and stuff, and that was the same way I used to write it, where it just stew in my mind and just boom on the paper. And when I did it like that, I had my briefcase where I just throw everything I write into it, well over 100 poems, 120, 130, and then when I decided that I was actually going to properly, quote unquote, take the time to put that time in and sit and think things out,
Nothing ever happened.
Sometimes organically is working on the 11th hour when it's just not so much random, but just spontaneous like that. And that is going to do it. So I want to thank you guys for participating and helping me with this project. And that'll do it.